Acts chapter 16. As you can see, the sermon is titled The Midnight Cry. I was thinking about history this week, and y'all probably remember the great Paul Revere. Now, Paul Revere, on the 18th of April, 1775, rode to the north. There were actually two riders, and how this all came about was that the Sons of Liberty had gone to Fort William and Mary. They stole ammunition from the British Army. And, of course, Fort William and Mary was only guarded by six soldiers. Can you imagine that? You have a stockpile of weapons, and you only have six soldiers guarding it. Well, they were easily able to take that. They moved the ammunition all the way to Concord. So General Gage, who I saw his house when we were in South Carolina, at least where he stayed for 11 months, he got wind of it and said, well, we need to get Hancock and Samuel Adams. We need to arrest them. Well, they were held up here at the Hancock-Clark house. Now, there were two riders. Many people don't realize that. They just think it was Paul Revere and the Midnight Ride. Well, Paul Revere took the northern route, and William Dawes took the southern route. Actually, Paul Revere encountered some British soldiers and had to turn back. They met up, and they got to the house, and they said, look, you need to get out of here. They're after you. Now, this is the interesting thing about this ride. It really didn't happen at midnight. It was 11 o'clock. Paul Revere made that trek in about 2 hours, which he was flying. As he went across the countryside, heading towards the Clark House to tell Hancock and Adams, you need to get out of here, he rides through the streets and he's telling one it by land, two it by sea, the British are coming. Unfortunately, that never happened. What he really said in reality was, the regulars are coming, because everybody was British. So he does this midnight ride, and it's one of the most famous rides. In fact, you could ask anybody, have you heard of Paul Revere? And they would tell you, yes, Paul Revere, but you don't hear about William Dawes too much. The reason they sent two riders was in case one of them got captured, the other one would get through. Now, we're going to look today at another midnight issue. This is Paul and Silas. They've been put in jail, actually the inner part of the jail. And at this point, they're in shackles, and Paul and Silas begin to sing, to praise God. Very interesting. So when we praise God, that's what we're going to look at first. When we praise God, here we see the worship. About midnight, it could have been 11 o'clock, like the great Paul Revere ride. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. So Paul and Silas are in prison. Their feet are shackled. Their hands are shackled. Not an ideal situation. Not an ideal situation. And you would think instead of getting ready to praise God, they would be doing other things. It says here they were praying. Prosukomai, it's not prosuko, it's prosukomai, which means to make a request to God and to ask God for something specifically. Let me say this. Sometimes bleak situations in life, they're not easy, and they are difficult, and they can become difficult. But it's in those exact moments when we should be talking to God. Actually, we should be talking to God all the time. Paul says in other places, pray without ceasing. But in specific, we need to be praying to God in those difficult times. And we'd be in good company, actually, the Apostle Paul, Silas. What about King David? In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help from his temple. He heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. I know. I get this. Sometimes we pray to God and it seems like God has put our lives on pause and has gone to the refrigerator to get something and left us. Paul and Silas knew that God would hear them. Do you know you have a right as a child of God? Not to sound charismatic where you can walk through the flames, and I heard that this week, nonsense. But anyway, you have the right as a child of God to go directly to the throne of grace. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. There was other stuff going on here. We'll find out in just a minute. Approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So here you have Paul and Silas shackled. They're praying, but the scriptures also say this, and singing hymns to God. And singing hymns to God. Whom know, which does sound like hymnal to us. To sing a song associated with religion and worship. To sing a hymns. Marvin Vincent in his word study writes this, praying they sang hymns. The praying and the praise are not described as distinct acts. Their singing of hymns was their prayer. Probably the Psalms. I thought about that this week. I'm going to really try this, and you're going to have to help me because we're going to sing together. I was going to ask Holly or Joanne to play this on the piano, but we're only doing one stanza because of my voice. On three. One, two, three. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you were singing, were thinking about a problem you had? Point is that when we stop focusing on our situation and start focusing on God, we are able to endure the difficulties and hardships. Because we're not looking to our own strength. We're looking to the strength of God. And in those moments, just start singing praises to Him. And all of a sudden, when you're focused on God, it doesn't seem to bother us as much on this end. So Paul and Silas are praising God. I love what Warren Wiersbe said. I love this. You may want to write this down. Warren Wiersbe said this, when you are in pain, the midnight hour is not the easiest time for a sacred concert. Man, that's powerful. When you are in pain, the midnight hour is not the easiest time for a sacred concert. Not only that, when you're hurting, when you're in difficulties, Paul and Silas certainly were, they were focused upward, not inward and not around what was going on in their lives. They were focused on God, even though the situation looks bleak. But listen to what happened here. They were praying and they were singing hymns to God. Watch this. And the prisoners were listening. And the prisoners were listening to them. Do you know what Paul and Silas did right there? What do those people have that we don't? What do those people, we're focused here on how miserable this situation is. I'm probably not guilty, but I'm in prison. They've locked me up. I hate this. I hate this. And then here you have two Christians who are in the inner cell praising God, and these prisoners are going, wow. Whether you like this or not, wherever you go in your life and you bear the name of Jesus Christ, guess what? People are watching. People are watching how you respond and how I respond. And they're making judgments on Christianity based on how we react. Right, Holly? People are looking. When you float the idea, not the idea, but when you float reality that you are a believer, the world is looking. And how you live life and what you allow to affect you may affect them. So we need to be careful. And Paul and Silas here, I would not have blamed them if they would have been complaining. Because can you imagine? I'm already claustrophobic, but my legs and my arms like this, I would have had to have been singing a bunch of praise songs. Our God is greater. I mean, I'd have been singing that all night long until I fell asleep to get out of it. But they were singing hymns, and the lost world, let's rephrase this. And those who were lost prisoners were listening. I don't want to understress that. When we go out on the highways and byways to life, don't cheat, don't steal, don't talk bad about people. Love people. Let them see the light of Christ in you and me. So God does hear. This is awesome. Listen to this. So they, I don't know what they're singing. Maybe they were singing Our God's Greater. But they were singing. And at midnight, right at this moment, listen to this. And suddenly, there was an earthquake. Boy, that was a weird coincidence. That was strange. That can be explained by the shifting of the plates. But right when they are praying and singing to God, and suddenly there was an earthquake. And by the way, Philippi was known for tremors and earthquakes. So if you're a lost person looking at this, you would go, ah, just so happened, right? I don't think these prisoners thought that at all based on the scripture. Well, you should know about 560 years later, in 619, a massive earthquake leveled Philippi. So Philippi was actually around for quite some time. So, and suddenly there was an earthquake. Who sent that earthquake? Theos, God. Theos is the creator of the universe, the one that can do pretty much anything. Shake the earth. He can send rain from heaven, which he does, and which we badly need at this point. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And we looked at where they believed the Apostle Paul was already. I don't need to revisit that. John Polhill, in his commentary, writes this: the praise and good cheer was in itself a witness to God. Yes, it was. Just so happened when they're doing this, the prison wall shakes. That shows the power of God. And the other prisoners listened intently. The area around Philippi often experienced earthquake and tremors, but this one happened at just the right time. Have you ever had God show up at just the right time? I've probably shared this before. When I was in Bible college, when we were in Bible college, we didn't have two quarters to rub together. I was making $125 a week preaching at the church. Our car went out, and I think it was $250. The local mechanic looked at it, and we didn't have a vehicle. And then every day at 4 o'clock, we would always migrate to the Great White God, which was the mailbox on campus. And we got there, and I opened it up, and First Baptist in Moments had sent us a check. It was enough to cover the car expense. God showed up at just the right time. Me. Sometimes I feel like God is late. I go, okay, God, hey, look. And it always seems to me like God's always late, at least me. But then he shows up and I go, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have thought that. You probably feel that way yourself at times. At just the right time. Wow. And immediately, at that moment when the prison is shaking, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. Can you imagine? Their song of praise is interrupted by God showing up. You ever notice when God does something like this, like on Mount Sinai? When earthquakes are often associated with God in the Bible. So are storms. But a lot of earthquakes are associated with God. So God shows up and Paul and Silas are like, boom. And of course, so were the other prisoners. In essence, what is happening here is a picture of what the gospel does in the lives of people. The gospel frees us from the shackles of sin. You can make that translation. You can make that. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. I think this is a picture of what the gospel is getting ready to do in the verses that we're getting ready to look at. They are shackled, and by the way, when you're a lost person, you are shackled in sin. You need deliverance. And so here you have the situation. When we praise God and worship, God hears us. And secondly, he can do amazing things. He can do amazing things. Now the jailer was asleep. That was pretty permissible since the doors were locked, everything was shut tight. And when the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open. So here you have the jailer sleeping, and all of a sudden, if you didn't wake up when an earthquake hit, then you might have maybe you took some sleeping meds or something, but this guy woke up. And what he saw was not something that was good for a jailer. He saw that everybody was free, basically. Warren Wiersbe says this, God responded by shaking the foundations of the prison, opening all the doors, and loosening the prisoners' bonds. That's not just Paul and Silas, that's as we used to say in the army, Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. They could have fled to freedom, but instead they remained right where they were. Why? For one thing, Paul immediately took command, and no doubt the fear of God was on these pagan men. The prisoners must have realized there was something very special about these two Jewish preachers. Wow. When the jailer woke up, he saw that the prison doors were open. I bet you not only did the earthquake strike fear into this prisoner, but also the reality is that if any one of these prisoners escape, it's big trouble for him. And I'd also want to remind us of something else. Paul should have never been in prison at Philippi. He was a Roman citizen and was not given a proper trial, but he did not pull out his get out of jail card. Let me just say this. I think Paul knew this. I think God gave Paul some type of vision where he says, I don't want you to use it right now. I want you to stay here. And that Paul was so sensitive to what was going on that he knew something major was coming. And he was willing to endure false imprisonment for the sake of the gospel. He was willing to endure false imprisonment for the sake of the gospel. He should have been given a trial. He should have been given a trial. Now notice what happens to in the next sentence. The jailer drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He was getting ready to run himself through. Why? Because he knew if even one prisoner escaped, the power brokers in Rome would have ordered his beating with lashes and whatever else they did to jailers who didn't live up to their expectation, and ultimately would be executed because of their escape. Why not just go ahead and do it now and save myself all that trouble? This is the world. This is the world, brothers and sisters. Let's not sugarcoat things. This is how the world operates. It's barbaric. And I don't usually get political, please trust me. I think we need to do something serious with Putin. And I'm praying that something happens there, because that's what he's doing is an atrocity. Here, this guard knows, hey, look, these guys, he thought they were going to escape. And so this jailer is really thinking about this, and he says, you know what, I'd rather die by my own hand than be brutally beaten and then executed. What happens is, notice Paul's reply. Paul cried out in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." I wrote this down on the side. What a gift. What a gift. Something happened to those prisoners, and they're listening to Paul, and he tells the Philippian jailer, don't do what you're getting ready to do, because we're all here, and we're not going anywhere. I tell my boys this in trail life all the time. It is never wrong to do the right thing. Paul did not say, everybody, let's break. Let's forget about this one person who's going to kill himself, just forget it. He doesn't care about us. Well, that's what the gospel is. The gospel cares about people that are unlovable. And so Paul says, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to just stay fast. Kenneth Gangle wrote this, accustomed as we are to prison breaks and acts, and there was quite a few of them, this time the account differs. Rather than escape, Paul and Silas stayed right in their cell and somehow persuaded the rest of the prisoners to do so as well. God's intent on this occasion was not physical deliverance of his servants, but spiritual deliverance of the jailer and his family. When you're in difficult situations, when you're in tough situations, and it seems like, God, why? Look at what might happen if you stay the course. To try to get out of the situation prematurely may mean to miss God's blessing. And then to get out of the situation when it's clearly God wants you out, that's another issue. I wish I would have learned this 30 years ago when I was a young pastor. Well, I still feel young, but just lost some hair and some... Paul replied, don't do that. Don't do that. We are all here. This really does set the tone for the witness encounter that's getting ready to come. Y'all familiar with Jeffrey Bull? Have you heard that name before? Anybody heard that name? He was a missionary in the 1950s in Tibet. And in the 1950s, China, he was doing missionary work to the people of Tibet. China came in and took over the country. And they captured him. First, what they did was they moved him in isolation for 6 months. You ever been in isolation in a dark place? So for 6 months they did that, and then they made the regular stuff that you would expect. They would beat him. This is how the world works. They beat him, but he never gave up. He was handcuffed, falsely accused, mentally and physically tortured, and threatened with execution. This is interesting. But his faith remained firm. Go ahead and beat me. I still trust God. I still trust Christ. It was around this time he became increasingly aware, because everybody in America heard about this guy and was praying for him. By the way, prayers of God's people work. It was around this time he became increasingly aware of the prayers of other Christians around the world. His captors, does this not parallel? His captors marveled at his faith. You think this jailer and these people that were in prison marveled at Timothy and Silas? My prayer for you this week is somebody that you come in contact with marvels at your faith. I don't want anything bad to happen to you, but I want you to be a beacon of light. Even though you may be a prisoner, they're the ones that are actually in prison. And they need to see your faith. They need to see my faith in action, even not when things are all good and it's happy, but when you're going through difficult times, that's when people need to see Jesus. And this, God bless him, and you know what? He did get freed. He crossed over the same bridge where he was being, when he was brought in as a prisoner. I only hope that I would have that kind of faith to stay the course. I want to think I would, but I've never been put in that situation. I got heckled when I was in the Army, for sure, for being a believer. But never something like this. Isolation, 6 months in the dark. What do you do? Do you try to etch stuff in? This is day one, this is day two, God, I will praise you, without losing your mind? I mean, I even think, I don't know if y'all know this, they're prepping to go to Mars. Did y'all know that? There was a group that just completed a one-year mission inside a mock vessel. 1 year. Inside an area about the size of this. You would think. But they had food. We don't know what he had. Very little. Jeffrey Bull, he wrote a book too about it. Sometimes difficulties and hardship. Sometimes I put little hearts all over my stuff. I just like it. Sometimes difficulties and hardship make it possible for others to see the light of the gospel. How are you able to get up in the morning? Well, I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want people to see Christ in you, and I want people to see Christ in me. Let's finish. Take time this week, and I think this is important. I'm actually surprised I even preached this entire sermon without a lot of coughing. Take time this week to praise God. And you know, when you praise God, it gets your mind off yourself and puts your mind on God, the one who gives strength. Even if you don't feel like it, sometimes I sing in the car when nobody else can hear me. Remember, whether you like this or not, remember the lost world is watching you and me. Their radars are up and they're just looking for one thing to catch you on so they can say, you are a fake Christian. Or, this is why I'm not a believer. It's work. It's because your mind, you always have to be, how do I respond to this person in a way that points them to Christ? That's a difficult thing to do. And don't assume that everybody's a believer. Remember, the lost world is watching us. Let us show them how strong Christians can be in their lives. And always be ready to share the gospel at all times, any place, anywhere. Y'all want to do that this week?